And we are pleased to welcome with us right now the fine columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette and a great friend, Ron Cook. Ron, welcome to the show.
Vic, my pleasure.
Right off the bat, what can the Browns expect from Charlie Batch at quarterback?
I wish I could tell you here. Steelers fans, I think, are hoping that he does a little better than maybe Mike Tomlin thinks he's going to. It's been a big story here all week. Tomlin left Byron Leftwich play against the Baltimore Ravens the other night, even though he had broken ribs and was having trouble throwing the ball late in the game. This is kind of the second time that this has happened. Last year against San Francisco, you might remember, they let Ben Roethlisberger play on a real bad ankle instead of going to bat. So at least my feeling is the coach doesn't have a lot of faith in Charlie Batch, but all he does is save seasons for this team, even though they've been trying to get rid of him for years. He's 5-2 as a starter. I think the team feels pretty good about having him in there, even if the coach might not. But they're going to have to run the ball. And, they're without Antonio Brown again, too, which I think is a real huge loss for him because he was their MVP last year.
Right.
Their passing game, Vic, isn't the same without him. Even when Roethlisberger played in the first half against Kansas City before he got hurt, the passing game was doing nothing that day without Brown. So without Ben and without Brown, I think it's going to be a real tough challenge for Batch and the Steelers offense.
All right, so at some point, yes, everything you're saying is true. You got to run the football, got to play great defense. You got to support the guy who has not Ben Roethlisberger in there. But that all said, Ron, there are going to be plays that the quarterback needs to make. So when Charlie Batch is doing it well at this stage of his career, what is it that he can do?
Well, he's really only played one game in the last 2 years, Vic. He played against the game after the San Francisco game that I referenced with Ben playing on a bad ankle. He pitched helped them pitch a shutout against the Rams at home, 27-0. You hate to use that phrase, manage the game.
Yeah.
But if he doesn't turn the ball over, he can still throw a pass occasionally when he has to. But he's 37 years old, and he hasn't played much since really the start of the 10 season when he had to end up playing as the fourth string guy. He finally got in when Roethlisberger was suspended and led him to a couple of wins. So you ask me what I expect at this age with this preparation and actual experience in the last couple of years. I don't know what to expect. I just, I think they'll be happy if he doesn't throw three interceptions and get them beat.
Yeah, I mean, a 15-year veteran comes in, and as you say, the age thing, all those elements tend to work against the guy. But the one thing I seem to remember being around the Steelers is, Ron, is that the better practice guy or the best practice guy they had at quarterback was Charlie Batch. And I know that that's said about a lot of great quarterbacks who are, when they get on the field, like, again, a Ben Roethlisberger, they'll do their thing on game day. Don't worry about him during the week. But Batch is one of those guys who, right, does have his, the grasp of what needs to be done and really has consistently given good pictures, if you will, to the defense in practice.
Well, there's no doubt Charlie's a smart man, and you can even see it when Roethlisberger plays. The guy he goes to on the sideline after each series is Batch. They have a great relationship, and they talk, and Batch tells him what he sees, and Ben tells him what he sees. There's no doubt I think the players respect Charlie a whole lot. I just don't know that the coaching staff does, and we'll see. We'll see how it goes. This is a big game for him. Their defense played great the other day against Baltimore, but they're not forcing turnovers, which is a major issue here. I think the feel here is they got to force some turnovers against the Browns to win this game.
Ron Cook, columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Ron, the Browns pass rush and the D-line in general, or in particular, was very strong against the Cowboys, as you know. 7 sacks against Tony Romo. They get Ataba Rubin back, paired up with Phil Taylor, and that was really a dynamic combination that the Cowboys couldn't handle. How do you see the Steelers' O-line dealing with that, and again, in relation to a Charlie Batch being back there as opposed to a guy like Roethlisberger who knows how to extend plays?
Well, Vic, it's interesting. They brought in Todd Haley to be the new offensive coordinator, more of a quick pass offense because they didn't want Roethlisberger to continue to take hits. And his sacks were way down this year, unfortunately, on one of them. He got hurt with his shoulder and rib injury. I look for Charlie to run the same offense, getting rid of the ball quickly. He's not going to escape much pressure. Now, the rookie right tackle, Mike Adams, had a real hard time the other day against Baltimore. Paul Kruger just ate him alive, beat him for a couple sacks, beat him for a couple other hurries, and I think that's a real concern here. The line has been better protecting the quarterback, except for Adams in this last game against Baltimore, but I would have looked for the Steelers to try to counteract it. You're not going to sit back there and let Charlie wait and wait and wait and try to throw it 60 yards downfield. I think, well, how did Ben describe the offense? Dink and dunk a few weeks ago. I think you're going to see a lot of that to try to keep the pressure off of Batch. But if the Steelers have a weakness pass blocking on the line, it is Mike Adams, the rookie right tackle.
And it doesn't help a quarterback if he doesn't have the people with talent to throw to. Having an Antonio Brown in there is huge, but he's hurting, and injuries, I know, forced this team to go to now reach back in the past and bring Plaxico Burress back in there. What do we expect of him? What do we expect of the receiving core in general, again, working with Charlie?
Well, see, I wrote a column today about it, and I'm so lukewarm about Plaxico coming back. This isn't 2004. He's 35. He couldn't get a job anywhere this year. He played one season out of the last four. I guess they're looking at him maybe as a target, a big target in the red zone. I don't know how much more they're going to get out of him at this point. Mike Wallace, without Antonio Brown, is their number one guy. He can still beat you deep, but are they going to be able to protect Batch long enough, and is he going to be able to get him the ball? They have Emmanuel Sanders there as well, and really Burrow steps into the number three spot. Jericho Cotchery broke some ribs against the Ravens the other night, so that's why they went out and signed Plaxico, probably the best they could find at this point. But I don't know that it's going to be much of a difference maker against the Browns.
Ron, they come in, the Steelers do, with the top-ranked defense in the league, number one against the pass, fourth against the run. I know typical numbers for this Steeler defense. I would think they're salivating at the first crack at a rookie, even though he's got 10 games under his belt, a rookie quarterback in Brandon Whedon. And like any rookie quarterback, I can see Dick LeBeau, the idea that he could do the old twisting the brains into knots thing.
Yeah, but I mentioned earlier, Vic, they're not forcing turnovers. Numbers are what they are. Now, they held Baltimore to 200 yards. They basically pitched a shutout. They allowed one 40-yard field goal drive. That was the only points they gave up. One field goal came after a fumble at the 12, and one came on a punt return by Baltimore. But they're not forcing turnovers. Even the week before Baltimore, they played Kansas City, which led the league in turnovers, and they didn't get one until overtime. Lawrence Timmons had a big interception in overtime to set up the winning field goal. But they couldn't even force a turnover against the team that led the league. James Harrison is not the same player he used to be. He's battling knee problems. He did get a sack late the other night. It was only his second in seven games this year. He's not made any forced fumble recoveries, not getting much pressures. And obviously without Troy Polamalu for just about the whole season, he's their ultimate playmaker. So, yeah, it's nice to say you're number one in the league, but sure would be nice if you could force a big turnover or two now and again.
Lastly, Ron, do they see this game as, okay, they're the Steelers, they're still contending for a division championship, even though the Ravens obviously have a good handle on that right now. But this is the 2-8 Browns, and they've played tough. They've had close competitive games with them, but still, how do you think the mindset is, even with Charlie Batch at quarterback? Do they come in here with a sense of desperation? What do you think the overall mindset is of this?
Well, I think they're fighting for survival here. I'm pretty much giving up on the division. Baltimore has a 2-game lead on them. All the tiebreakers go Baltimore's way. I think they're still in great spot for a wild card. They're just trying to survive until Roethlisberger comes back. We don't know when that's going to be, if it's going to be next week when they go to Baltimore or the week after when they're home against San Diego or even later. I know they're comfortable playing the Browns. They feel like they own them. What do they want, 11 of the last 12, I think, in Cleveland, if I'm not mistaken. But some of those games have been tough, there's no question. I don't think they're taking anything for granted, but desperate, I would say. They're fighting for survival at this point. You know, without Polamalu, without Roethlisberger, without Antonio Brown, if you're listing their five biggest stars, that's three of them, and throw in James Harrison, a lesser James Harrison, that's probably four of their five biggest stars. So they're fighting for survival. I would expect very much a desperate team, and we'll see how it plays out. They have Baltimore again the following week at Baltimore. I think they're hoping they go 7-4 into Baltimore and see what happens.
Ron, thank you so much, and a happy Thanksgiving to you and your family.
Vic, thanks. Always a pleasure, man. Have a great day.
He is Ron Cook, columnist for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, joining us here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. We've got much more coming up on ESPN 850 WKNR.